Good evening. Come on. Good evening. I know that's super corny, but I need to know you're with me because this is my third time. If I fall asleep up here, it's your fault. I don't know what to tell you. I need to start off with this, though, because there is an event that has happened in each and every one of our lives. I don't care. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. We have all experienced the same event. And this is the kicker. We don't remember a second of it. And if you do remember a second of it, I don't know how that's possible. Any ideas on what that could be? Birth. And you know what? Every one of us was born. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Obviously, you were born. Did you know that every second, four babies are born in our world? Every second, there's four. In the United States, on any given day, there are over 10,000 babies born. And to take that to the scale of our world, the UN, they keep data on these things, there are 385 or so thousand babies born daily. Now, that's a lot of babies. I'm glad our nursery, I don't even know how that would work. But the thing about birth, because we've all been born, it happens all the time. Maybe you have children or grandchildren who are recently born. Birth has become, well, ordinary. Unless you're the person giving birth, and then it's not ordinary, is it? But birth has become ordinary because it happens so often. You might hear of a baby being born in your family. We had twins born into our family about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I should know. I'll see them in the next couple days. But birth, just everybody's been born and it becomes ordinary. But I want to pause for a moment. Because as ordinary as birth has become, and we think that everybody's been born, so you know everyone has a story, birth is extraordinary, isn't it? When you think of the miracle of birth and how a little life is brought into this world, it's extraordinary. It should not be taken lightly. It is something that should be celebrated all the time. Now, how does this play out in Jesus? Because we're here for Christmas, and you even knew where I was going with the whole birth thing initially. But today we're talking about the birth of a baby that forever changed the course of the world. Now, I have a challenge, and some of you will be good at it, and some of you won't. I just know. If you have heard this story maybe dozens of times in your life, if you've been to church on Christmas Eve as long as you can remember, maybe every Christmas Eve in your life up until today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to forget everything you've ever learned. That's going to be hard. But I want you in your mind to put it up on the shelf, to put it out of play for just a moment, because I want to reframe some of the events that happened around Jesus' birth, and I want you to have fresh eyes to see and understand what I'm talking about. Now, I also know, and this is the beauty of a church like ours, there are people who are here for their very first Christmas Eve as a follower of Jesus ever. I know it. And those folks, they don't need to forget anything because this is all brand new to them. But for each and every person in this room, I want you to imagine you're back in the place where these events happened. I want you to imagine, if you could be a fly on the wall, as the saying goes, in the place and time where Jesus was born and the events that encompassed his coming to this earth, I want you to imagine and try to see them with fresh eyes this evening. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, as the Holletts just read, and we're going to unpack a little bit what was just read, because this is the thing. If you've heard the story any amount of times at all, maybe you even know it by memory, the events of it don't seem as extraordinary as they really are. So we're going to pick this up in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, and I hope that you look at it with a fresh perspective. Luke tells us, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there were no guest rooms available for them. Even as you hear those words, I hope that you're able to see and imagine them for the first time. How extraordinary this story really was. You see, it was an angel who told Mary she would become pregnant and have a child. And the Holy Spirit came upon her and she became pregnant. So this whole pregnancy thing for Mary started off in a very unique way. But then through the course of her pregnancy, she went to visit her cousin and did other things. And then she probably imagined, as many of us have, that they were going to have a normal birth experience with the midwife and loved ones and all that going on around them. But then things got crazy. All of you who have had children, can you imagine near the end of your 9th month where you have to ride on a donkey for days to get to some place they're going to count and do a census? I'm sure it's not what Mary had anticipated. You see, all of us have birth stories, and all of our birth stories are unique. So that's not the part about this story that is so challenging. My own birth story, I was born on January 7th. So all of you who buy birthday gifts, it's coming right up. But the January 7th I was born in 1974, it was a snowstorm here in town, and we were at my parents' house last night, and they couldn't agree on the story, so I'll just make it up. No. My mom said it was snowing like crazy, and she went to a normal doctor's appointment early in the day, and the doctor said, the baby's coming. So they went right to St. Joe's up that way, and my mom was in labor for like 30 plus hours. She's a trooper. And my mom's this tall, maybe that tall. And she just couldn't do it. And so the doctor told her she needed to have a cesarean. I was 21 inches long when I was born. I was 36% of my mother's total height when I was born. You can see why it didn't happen normally. You see, we all have a birth story. The events that surround our births are extraordinary, and that's exactly what we're going to see as we look at Jesus' birth. Now, as I read this next section of Luke, I want to see if you can find the part that's really extraordinary, okay? It'll stick out, I promise, but see if you can pick it up and understand why this is so incredible. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Not at all abnormal. But then, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? You better believe they were. Have any of you ever seen an angel? Now, this is the problem we have with angels. We personified them. We have made angels in our own image. I'm sure many of you made angel cutout cookies for Christmas. And you have wings, and maybe there's a halo, and they're just all cute little cherubs. Or maybe you've seen artwork throughout the centuries, and angels are pictured in this glorious human form with a halo around their head and this smile, and they're caring for and loving for somebody in need. You see, we've made angels to be maybe not what they really were at all. If you look in the book of Ezekiel and then in Revelation, you see a very different picture of what an angel was. In Revelation, there's the story of the throne room of God where there's these heavenly beings with wings and they have eyes all over their wings, top and bottom. Now, that's not normal. You don't see that on many Christmas trees, do you? An angel that looks like that. So why were the shepherds terrified? Because they saw something they never thought they'd ever see in their life, this angelic being, and they probably couldn't even describe what they were looking at. And then the scripture tells us that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Do you know what the glory of the Lord is? I imagine in the scripture it describes it as this bright, blinding, white light that consumed them. Why were these shepherds terrified? Well, it was a Tuesday. They were going about their normal business, and all of a sudden this thing with all these eyes showed up, and the so bright in the middle of the night, they couldn't even understand what they were seeing. Of course they were terrified. I would be terrified too. And sometimes I think we read over that and we don't fully understand what it is saying. But then it even gets better, because not only did they see the angel, but then the angel began to talk to them. Isn't the birth of Jesus, isn't it well beyond extraordinary? So the angel speaks then. I love this first line. Do not be afraid. Well, I am. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. We'll get back to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I have some basic life advice for you. If an angel ever talks to you, do whatever it says. I wish I could catch the tone of the angel's voice. I wish I could see if it was something, if it was a low rumble, if it was a normal voice, if it was something high and screechy. We just don't know. We don't know what language the angel spoke in. I can guarantee it wasn't English. It was something else. But the angel spoke in such a way that the shepherds heard and understood exactly what they were supposed to do. And as we'll see in a moment, they understood some of the key words the angel used that we might gloss over because we've read the story so much and not truly understand what it is saying. You see, I hope this is obvious to you so far, that Jesus' birth is no ordinary birth. I doubt when any of you were born, there were angels that came down and told anybody anything about you. When my kids were born, there was no bright light from heaven and no Jesus' birth is that extraordinary. So we're going to work back through the verse a little bit and pick out some of the key words as to how the angel described this baby that was born. First, the angel describes a sign to help the shepherds know what they are looking for. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Why is that so important? Because Jesus was born in the humblest of situations. He wasn't born in a palace. There weren't servants taking care of Mary and Joseph's every need. That is the antithesis of what happened. He was born in a humble setting and laid in a manger, which is a feed trough for animals. Why is that so important? Because Jesus is for the everyday, ordinary person. He came in a humble place, in a humble beginning, and the angel spoke to shepherds who were humble people doing work that nobody else really wanted to do. Because of that, we learn that Jesus is available to all people. Not those who think they're good enough, not those who think they've arrived. He is available and ready to engage with everybody. That brings great joy to my heart, that he understands us, even his humble beginning born in a manger. The second thing they call him, or the angels call him, is Messiah. Now the shepherds would have fully understood, anybody in that time in Israel would have understood who the Messiah was. You see, Israel had lived in bondage for generations. Different groups took them over and ruled over them. And in this time in their history, it was the Romans. And the Romans ruled with an iron fist. So when the shepherds heard Messiah, what they heard was deliverer, the one who will make all things right, the one who will stand up in the face of the Roman Empire and give us freedom, will give sight to the blind, will allow us to be set free as captives, will give us hope, will allow us to live free in the world. That's what they heard when they heard the word Messiah. As the shepherds heard that, their hearts started to race because they understood that the oppression was coming to an end. The other word the angel used was Savior. Now, a Savior can be viewed as a deliverer. It can be said that it's somebody who rescues or defends or a guardian, somebody who comes alongside you and saves you from the position and the situation you find yourself in life. A Savior can pick you up out of the muck and mire of life and set your feet on the rock, and he can protect and care for you. When they heard the word Savior, their hearts were racing. Not only is this baby humble, he's the Messiah, and he's the Savior. Now, you might be asking, what do we need to be saved from? What did the shepherds, you know, you described Rome and that, but what do we need to be saved from? In Matthew's account of this same birth narrative, he lays it out a little bit more clearly what we needed to be saved from. In Matthew's account, he writes, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Here it is. "Because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means what? God is with us. Matthew Lake makes it clear that we need a Savior because of the sin that exists in our world. The sin that is ready to take you down, the sin that is ready to destroy anybody's life, and that God saw in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, in his grace, that we were in need of a Savior. That's the best news any of us could ever hear. The birth of Jesus was well beyond extraordinary, well beyond extraordinary. The very presence of God came and lived on this earth and dwelled among us. Sin has consequences, and God saw it, so he knew we needed the Savior. The one who will make all things right. The one who will set the oppressed free. The one who will deliver Israel. The rescuer has finally come. And this is the beautiful thing. It's not just for the shepherds there and then. It's for you and me today. The sleepless nights that you spend because your life is out of control. If I was going to ask you to raise your hand, everyone who feels the burden of life, I'm sure there would be hands that go up all over the place. He is your Savior. He doesn't want you to carry those burdens by yourself. He wants to walk with you. When you think you have done too much in this world, too much negative, and you think there is no chance for you, he is your Savior too. He embraces you and loves you. That's why this story is so extraordinary. The birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary because it meant great news, good news, and great joy for all people, even the people you don't like. Oh, that one hurts. Even the people that we might think are too far gone, even the people that live on the other side of town, and how could God ever love them? He is the Savior of all. That fires me up. So many directions. He's brought good news for all people. Of all time and all walks of life. And you know, one time Jesus had an interaction with his friend Martha. If you know the scriptures and if you read them at all, there's these two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they have a brother, Lazarus. In the Gospel of John, we find out that Lazarus was very sick. He was close to death. His sisters called for Jesus. He didn't come for some time, and Lazarus died. And Martha met him out on the road, met Jesus out on the road, and said, "Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And as a part of their conversation, Jesus said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then he says this to Martha. "Do you believe this? Thank you." Martha, do you believe this? You know who I am. You know that I've been walking with you. Do you believe that I am the Savior of the world? And Martha's response is beautiful. And read this in John 11 later today or tomorrow. She says, "I know this is who you are. You are the one of God, the one from God." And if she can believe it, and if we just read about it, my question to you is, do you believe this to be true? Now, this is where this gets challenging. Like I mentioned a few moments ago, there's some of you who have been coming to Christmas and Christmas Eve services maybe for decades. And maybe you can say you believe it, but your life doesn't look as though you do. Maybe you can confess that Jesus is Lord with your lips, but if I were to look at your life the rest of the time, I would see somebody who doesn't truly believe this because their life does not reflect who Jesus is. So I ask you again, do you really believe this? Because if you do, it should transform everything about you. Your attitude, your language, the way you interact with others, the way you love your kids and your spouse, the way you love your neighbors and your coworkers, the way you give of your resources, the way you talk to people, everything has changed if you truly believe this. So again, do you believe this? Do you see why I asked you to have it, try to look at this with fresh eyes? Because it's with fresh eyes, then maybe you can see and understand this story and truly embody it. To live different. No ordinary birth in our world could lead to the freedom of sin, from sin. No other baby has that ability. No other person other than Jesus can carry the weight of our sin, our guilt, our shame, take on our punishment. So do you believe this to be true? My hope, whether you've been around churches for decades or this is your first Christmas Eve, that you'll be able to walk out of here tonight and say, "I believe a little bit more than maybe I did when I walked in. I believe that this Jesus isn't maybe who I thought he was." Maybe you'd even identify and say, "I'm in need of a Savior because of who I am in my life and where I've been." And let me let you in on a little tidbit. Every one of us is in need of a Savior. So do you believe this? I'm going to come back up after a few minutes and give some practical steps. But until I do, I want you to sit in this space of asking, one, do I believe it? And if I do, what difference has Jesus ever made in my life? Am I truly following him or am I giving him lip service? Because how you view that. So God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the words in Scripture and how Luke makes it so clear that the angels came, they interacted with the shepherds, and their words were so profound. The Messiah was born, the Savior was born. God, I pray that this Christmas of 2024, you would help us all to better understand what that means for us every day. And that, Lord, no matter where we walked in this evening, that you would draw us closer to yourself. We love you, God. We worship you. And I ask that you do a work in all of our hearts. And I pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew. My favorite part of every Christmas Eve service we do is when we light candles. And do we do them for just the effect? Well, it's so much more than that. You see, Jesus was the light of the world. He's the one who came to bring light in the dark places of our world. And as we light our candles and pass the light around the room, it signifies that God, that Jesus, is his word is spreading through people like you and me. So I'm going to light my candle over here. Then I'm going to have some folks come forward. I'm going to light their candles. And then as the flame comes to you, light yours and then pass the light on to others. And then the band is going to lead us in singing a song, and then we will reflect on what just happened.